welcome to the Dance School Startup mini podcast, bringing you bite-sized advice each week to help you at the start of your dance school's journey. My name's Laura Gillam, and I've been a dance teacher for over 20 years and a school owner for over 14 years. I'm so excited to support you on your journey, and I look forward to getting to know you more in the Dance School Startup Facebook group. Now, grab yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, sit down, and enjoy today's episode. Hi everybody, it's Laura here over at Dance School Startup. I hope you guys are well and you had a great week. I'm sitting here in my office, I'm feeling really cozy. I've got a coffee going, I've got a Jo Malone candle burning. Guys, I only burn that for special occasions because it costs about £1 million. So I've put it on especially for you today. So I'm sitting here all chill and I'm ready to record our second episode, which is really exciting. I'm absolutely loving doing these and chatting to you guys, and I really hope that you're finding them useful. Here we are today with a brand new episode about something so important when you are first starting out, and that is structuring. And not just any structuring, but smart structuring. We're going to create a basic structure to your dance school that makes it easy for you to run and easy for them to stay. Now look, you've all heard the saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I want to talk to you today about how this can actually be really relevant to you as a dance school owner or about to become a dance school owner. When you're first structuring your school, you need to be thinking slightly longer term. Even if you've only currently got, 10 children and you offer 3 classes and that's kind of your whole week, you want to structure those classes in a way that going forward, you don't need to make too many changes, if any. When it comes to dance schools, people don't like too much change. I'm not talking about if you're having a complete dance school overhaul or a rebrand, because that's an exciting time for everyone involved. It doesn't matter if you're the teacher, you're the principal, or you're a student at the school. Things like rebrands and overhauls are exciting for everybody. So I'm not talking about that. I'm actually just talking about, when you first start out and the week-to-week running of your school. And clients want to know that what they're getting is going to be consistent. And they want to know what they're getting and when. They want consistency in all areas of the school. Because 90% of your students, they're not going to make a career in the industry. For them, it's just a hobby. So it needs to be as easy and accessible as possible for them so they can grow up with it and grow up with you at each stage of their development. And very early on in the game for me, I actually made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to change my timetable unless there was a serious problem. Now, after a few years, I noticed that this decision was actually paying off big time. In fact, it was confirmed to me because a group of students left their dance school and joined mine because their timetable was changed so regularly. It just restricted the rest of their household on what activities that they could enjoy or commit to. It just all became about this one person in the house. And they'd heard positive feedback about the consistency of my school, and basically that swung it enough for them to completely jump ship. Now, I'm not suggesting for one second that you create a business model for your school and then never change it or evolve it. But what I am suggesting to you is that you pay attention to what you are changing and if it's going to affect you negatively by unnecessarily creating more work for you, your staff, or frustrating your members. Now, another thing to think about here when you're structuring your timetable is class clashes. You don't want to be ending up in a situation where you can't upsell 90% of your classes because they clash with other things that those students are already taking. And the easiest way when you're first starting out to make sure this doesn't happen, if you are running 2 classes back to back, make sure one is, say, a junior level class and the other one is, say, a senior level class. So you know that they're never going to be clashing because the age groups are completely different. Then, therefore, you can upsell other classes throughout the week and not have that concern. Now, obviously, if you're running a bigger timetable, it might be a little bit more tricky, especially if you're doing grades. So again, have a think about how you can distance things far apart enough that if you have a child who is perhaps excelling in one subject, let's use for an example ballet, but not excelling so much in tap. So perhaps they're in grade 5 ballet, but they're only in grade 4 tap or grade 3 tap. I try as much as possible to leave at least 3 grades between classes that are running at the same time.
9 times out of 10, that sorts out the problem and we don't have any issues going forwards. Now, obviously, you're always going to have the odd person that is the exception to the rule, and you have to come up against that, you know, as and when that happens. But ultimately, most of the time, you're going to find that this ensures a smooth running, allows you to upsell your other classes, and stops, you know, clashes for children, which means that they can then enjoy as broad a timetable as possible, and obviously therefore for you, making more income.
Now, as I say, I made that decision early on that I wasn't going to change my timetable. And when you are structuring your timetable, the thing you really want to consider is future you. In my personal life, I'm a member of a really good AmDram group. I don't perform, obviously, on stage anymore, so I wanted to join something just to keep my hand in and do something, you know, fun to get involved in. And I found this group and they're absolutely first class. I mean, their shows are just incredible, guys. They do these massive productions that are massive budgets, and a lot of the people that are in this society are ex-pros, so the standard's insane. I joined them just at the start of my journey of opening a dance school. And they rehearse on a Monday and a Friday evening from 7:30. And I really, really didn't want to give up my hobby, guys, because I absolutely loved it. And so when starting my school, I decided that I was going to make sure that there was room in my timetable for me to continue with that in the future. I've never taught past 7 o'clock on a Monday or a Friday, regardless of how many kids or parents wanted me to. I made this decision right at the start and factored that in from the beginning. And future me is indeed very grateful for that decision, because regardless of whether I actually have something to do on those nights, I still stroll out of my studio at 7 o'clock 2 nights a week. And let me tell you, that is a real joy. Now, regardless of whether you've actually got something that you already want to factor in that you do, like a hobby, or you have nothing actually planned and you're thinking you're just going to go full steam ahead, I just wanted to put that out there, because if you are going to, like me, make the decision to keep things structured and consistent, then it is worth thinking about what you want from the next couple of years, and also just making sure that you're giving yourself room for a work-life balance. Because running a dance school doesn't leave much room for a work-life balance. You've got to create it, and you've got to be disciplined with that, because it's very easy to completely throw yourself in wholeheartedly, because that's who we are. We absolutely love what we do, and we're very passionate people. And a lot of the time we will make sacrifices against our own friends and family for the dance school family that we're creating. And as much as that's absolutely fine, and we all do it, and that's a big part of who we are and what people love about us, it's also really important that you don't burn out. And I've experienced burnout several times over the years, and it is a wake-up call. So this is why I'm advising you now, think about future you and make sure that you are giving yourself a chance to breathe. So we're going to move on now and talk a little bit about structuring your annual timetable. So how the full year works. Now, my school has a very clear, basic annual structure that, of course, does not change. I'm going to talk to you about how I structure my year. Obviously, all schools are so different, and the way that you structure your year at the beginning won't be quite as full on, because you're just starting out and you haven't got quite as much to offer in the early days. But I'm going to share with you how I do it so you can get an idea. So I have exams every February half term. My personal choice is the ISTD and the IDTA. We use both. Then I have a showcase for our musical theatre department every March. Now, our musical theatre department is huge. We have over 100 kids just in that alone, just doing musical theatre. So that's a little showcase for them, which is absolutely lovely, because it gives them the opportunity to do something that's a little bit more intimate as opposed to like a big school show. So it's only got 100 people in that show, but that is specifically for musical theatre. And that's every March. And then we do an Easter dance intensive during the Easter holidays. So we get guests in and we do a 3-day intensive. We do a school fall production every single July. And then we finish with a 2-week summer youth project where we put on a full-scale musical in the summer holidays. So there's a lot going on. and this doesn't change. So people know what to expect, students can get excited about what's coming up, and parents and staff have consistency each year and can plan accordingly. And this is a big one, guys. It eliminates the situation of kids dropping out of shows or not taking part in events that we offer because they know way in advance, give or take a couple of days, when to keep free throughout each year. Now, similarly, we've actually basically eradicated the problem of students dropping classes when they have to move up a level or an age group or a grade. And this is because they know way in advance when their next class is going to be. And they're going to plan around it because they are confident that we aren't going to be changing that timetable anytime soon. So if the new class already clashes with another hobby or activity, they can take steps early enough to have a shift around and make it work for them. And therefore, your student retention level suddenly becomes really impressive. If they can't make it work, which of course sometimes happens, then they have to make a choice, but it's completely down to them and not because you forced that choice upon them by changing your timetable at the last minute. The ball's in their court and nobody's left feeling frustrated with you. The pressure is off of you because everyone knows where they stand with you. Now, let me tell you the truth here. I'm in my 14th year of being a dance school owner. I've not advertised for 10 years, not a penny. I've got a Facebook page, an Instagram account, and a website. That's it. Now, let me tell you something even more exciting. During those 10 years, I have consistently had a waiting list of at least 100 students. And in the last 3 years, my waiting list has never dropped below 200. Word of mouth is my completely free advertising method. And what do I believe is one of the biggest keys to the success? Consistency. They know what to expect. Our standards are high. And we always deliver. Now, one of the things I asked you to write down last week was if you overheard a conversation of people that you respected or your peers talking about your school, what would you want them to be saying? Now, I think you should add this to your list if you've already started it, because this is the kind of feedback that you want to be hearing, because it's music to parents' ears. And those prospective parents are going to be a lot more interested in a school that is consistent and high standards than hearing about a school that, well, it's really, really good. Absolutely love the teachers, like really good standards of students, but the timetable's changing every half term, which is making things a bit different. They change when they do their show. Sometimes they do it in February, sometimes they do it in July. Some years they do exams, some years they don't bother. So we just don't really know whether we're coming or going. You know, I'm doing extremes here, but you get what I'm trying to say. If they know what to expect, they're going to feel comfortable, confident, and they're going to trust you. And that's what you need. So there you go, guys. A little bit of food for thought for you this Friday morning. And I hope that you found that useful today and it's given you some things to think about. I'd love it if you could just drop me a little emoji in the comments when you've listened, just so I know who's listening in and who's getting involved. And also, if you've got any takeaways from today, it'd be great to hear, you know, what really stuck out to you and what you'd like to implement going forward. So yeah, so that's the end of the episode today. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I really think that our reopening, for those of us who are already going, is going to come sooner than you think. It's going to creep up on you. So I know we're waiting for announcements because we're in the middle of this lockdown at the moment, but just really try this weekend to take a pen and paper if you haven't already and start jotting down ideas for either your big launch or your return. It's an exciting time. Don't be nervous. Don't feel overwhelmed by it. It's really exciting and I want you to just stay in that mindset, okay? I'm here to help. If you need me, you can always DM me. I had a really lovely one-to-one call with one of our ladies this week, which was great. If you need any one-to-one support, just reach out. I'm always here. You can just send me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But I reckon you've got about 7 to 8 weeks before we start seeing dance schools reopening. So that's 7 to 8 weeks of you being able to plan. So get your nice notepad out. I told you I'm obsessed with stationery. Get your nice notepads out. Get your good pen that you do your best handwriting in. I'm a big
pen and paper person. If you're not and you want to type, there's no judgment here. But start plotting, because guys, this is going to be such a comeback. It's going to be epic. That's all from me this week, guys. Have a lovely week. I look forward to seeing you in the group and on the next episode. Take care for now. Bye.